you hear them on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
Spitting hot fire. Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dingin Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, Dingin Hughes, Spitting Hot Fire. It's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. The Chiefs rookie record is 6 touchdowns. Xavier Worthy has 4.
All right.
Dingin Hughes, what do you think about those Chiefs last night, my man?
What's going on, fellas? A good Tuesday morning. Happy Victory Tuesday morning. The game yesterday. Do we talk about the Royals game as well?
Oh, we'll get into it, yeah.
Huge.
Yep.
Yeah. But the Chiefs win. I thought it was a great attitude win, man. I thought from the beginning to the end, yeah, there were some things that we'd like to have back. But this team, this organization just has that ability to overcome any obstacles, overcome any negative plays or situations, and still provide entertainment.
Yep.
And wins. And I thought from the beginning, with the Saints coming in, you very rarely see a team win the coin toss and take the ball in the NFL. You always seem to see them defer, unless there's a weather situation or what have you. You defer until the second half. But they were trying to come in, and I said it on the broadcast, that it seemed like they were trying to come in like a heavyweight boxing match and throw haymakers from the beginning. And as we've seen in boxing history, once those first couple of swings come out and then you get a chance to swing back, that's when things get real. And I thought this was a huge attitude win for the Chiefs, especially how they accomplished it. Running the ball, commitment to run, and just continuing to punch and punch and punch at the Saints and not really allow them much life during the game.
You mentioned it, like a heavyweight boxing fight. Yeah, if you're Glass Joe, I mean, like that, that's kind of what they did last night. They just kind of went out there and, like, Glass Joe's dancing around, a couple of punches to the stomach, and they kind of withered away. I mean, that's who this Chiefs MO is. I mean, I'm going to say this, Dane, and I'm sure you're probably going to disagree with me because I tend to get a little bit hyperbolic, but maybe you're not. Win total aside, Super Bowl totals aside, mm-hmm. right? Andy Reid is the greatest head coach in NFL history, and I'll fight anybody to the death on that one.
Oh, I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
I mean, I know there are people out there that will say Don Shula and Bill Belichick, and I get it with the wins and then the Super Bowls, et cetera. But when you talk about in totality, in both organizations and winning and now surpassing, I believe he's up 2 on his total win total regards to his tenure at the Eagles, and now with his tenure with the Chiefs, how he's done it, how he embraced the players, how the players speak about him, and how other coaches speak about him. And you guys have heard me say, you can tell a lot about a coach, his reputation, how highly regarded he is by the post-game handshake. And there's never a time when Andy Reid crosses the field, win or loss, rival or not, young coach or old coach, where there's any kind of disrespect, any kind of animosity, anything that happens. That tells you a lot about the coach, the quality of coach that you have. And then now you're tagging on these wins. You're going for an unprecedented three-peat. You have all of the pressures of every team treating you like it's their Super Bowl, and all the bullets that come with that, and yet you start the season 5-0 after sustaining injuries to 3 of, probably coming into the season, 3 of your top 5 offensive, offensive parts, offensive playmakers on this team, and you're still able to figure out ways to win in the NFL. Like, it is so exceptional. It's beyond anything that we could have imagined during the Todd Haley era or Romeo Crennel or whatever. Like, to have Andy Reid is truly, truly a gift.
You know, in this one stat to really knock this home, since Andy Reid has been here now in his 12th season, fellas, think about that. They've had a 5-game winning streak in every season that Andy Reid has been head coach. That's the most consecutive seasons with a minimum of a 5-game winning streak in NFL history. The second closest, like San Francisco and Indianapolis from back in the early 2000s and the 90s. Like, they're just doing things every week that rewrites the record books in this league.
Yeah, it's amazing. I got a chance to interview Kareem Hunt after the game. And, you know, I talked to him about, hey, you know, you getting 27 carries, and basically just a few weeks ago you were on your couch. It wasn't like you were with another team or had gone through training camp or OTAs. He's like, you're right. Like, I'm just getting my legs underneath me and feeling, you know, obviously great about his performance. But how about Andy Reid and Matt Nagy saying, you know what, we see more in you than maybe you see in yourself, Kareem, at this point. So we're going to give you the ball 27 times. And you know, you're going to rush for 100 yards, and the team's going to rush for 139 yards on the evening against a pretty darn salty Saints defense. I mean, like, that's the epitome of knowing how to lead men, is when you can get something out of them that they don't even realize that they have. And, you know, I'm looking at highlights here on SportsCenter and seeing the touchdown run by Xavier Worthy, and, like, how many people would think that, you know, a slight 170-pound receiver would line up in the backfield and run the ball. But that's how you catch teams off guard. And it's just amazing, the creativity. I know sometimes it can be a little frustrating. You consider that play, the interception by Colin Saunders. You'd love to have that play back. It didn't work for the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Not sure, you know, how that, you know, gets into our playbook, but how you're able to bounce back from that, the defense picking up the offense, and just doing whatever it takes to get the job done. Like, I'm just thoroughly impressed with this organization and how they show up every single week. Entertaining, because it is an entertainment game. It's a win and loss game, but it is an entertainment game. They keep everybody engaged, the Chiefs fans, the kingdom was faithful and loud. A part of the game, the 12th man was real. It was just an electric atmosphere.
Dana, I'm glad you wrapped the frustration thing, as we're talking to Dana Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver and now the color commentator for the Chiefs Radio Network. Dana, what's more frustrating from a former player, and seeing that the offense just seems to keep moving along with all the injuries, or having to go against Spags' defense and be a running back?
I don't know, man. You know, it's always tough for me to even talk about defenses in a positive light, but I got to give love to our Chiefs defense, to Spags, and what he's been able to install, and how they just continue. What's amazing to me is how we confuse great quarterbacks. And I'm not calling Derek Carr great, but at the same time, week after week, it seems like it doesn't matter whether it's Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, whoever. Like, we have that ability where they're like 4 or 5 plays at least where they look totally baffled. They look totally confused. They don't know what's going on. You got Derek Carr back there throwing back off his back foot, falling backwards when there's not a defender within 2 yards of him unnecessarily. He's just freaked out at every package that we're throwing at him. And it's just so impressive to watch and to do it with young guys. We're talking about Jalen Watson, Trent McDuffie, 3-year guys. George Karloftis, 3rd-year guy. Nazee Johnson. I mean, we're talking about players that are just young that you wouldn't think would be anchors of a team. And then to see what we're doing on offense to complement that. I mean, how many people, obviously, coming into the season, we wouldn't have been able to say it because these guys weren't even on the team. Juju Smith-Schuster and what we saw with Kareem Hunt. I mean, these guys showing up each and every week defensively, making the plays, putting pressure on opposing teams, and making them extremely uncomfortable and confusing.
Talk with Dana Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. The baseball team won a pretty big game. And afterwards, I want to get your reaction as a former athlete to this comment from Jazz Chisholm.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
They just got lucky. When you're an athlete and you hear another athlete say that, your reaction is?
Yeah, everything was good up until that last point.
Right.
Like, everything is exactly that the things that you think of as a player. It was just one game, and, you know, but the lucky part is what, you know, kind of digs in the craw of any player that has any kind of competitive juices. And the Royals, I believe, especially when you talk about where they were last year, losing over 100 games, and where they got to this year, then going on the road in Yankee Stadium, which is probably one of the most difficult baseball stadiums to play in. You and I are both from up there, so we know about that fan base and you know, just all the history there. And to play a game where they lose 6-5, where they had chances to win that game, and then to come back and win a game, like, you deserve more respect than that.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve more respect than that just by those two performances. And to add that lucky part, just a little extra shot that I don't think will bode well for Jazz Chisholm.
There you go. He can join the Canoe Club. Shout out to Lee Summit for the Canoe Club, but now he can join the Canoe Club of booze. Danon, I am interested here to ask you, did you at all have the Royals game on, like a tablet or anything? I know you're zoned in for the game to call it and everything like that, but did you have any sort of like updates going on, or how did you stay in tune with the Royals game last night during that Chiefs win?
Oh, absolutely. We were talking about it during the broadcast, mm-hmm. during commercials. We were looking at the phones. I think everybody in the booth had their phones on, watching, or at least getting the updates of the scores after Salvi's home run and then the consecutive singles to get things going and stretch the lead. Like, it was definitely a staple of conversation in the booth between Mitch and I, between the other guys as part of the radio crew. So, we were all in tune, and I think the fans, you heard on television, they were chanting "Go Royals" when the announcement came that we won the game. So, everybody loves the Chiefs. This is the Chiefs' kingdom. But at the same time, we also know the love for the Royals is, at the high that a lot of people know about. So, like, that's what it is. That's what made yesterday great, the doubleheader. I had some friends and family in from New Jersey who are Saints fans and Yankees fans. So
that's a hell of a combination.
Yeah, I got to talk a little trash to them at the car after the game. You know, to win the doubleheader was special.
Dane and I have a question for you before we let you go and enjoy the bye week. Tougher matchup for an opposing offense, trying to stop Chris Jones just bull rushing an offensive line, or trying to get open against Trent McDuffie?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I would say this. If you're trying to stop Chris Jones with one person, like they said in the movie Taken, good luck. But Trent McDuffie and his lockdown ability and the way he plays the game, physical enough, but still with great technique. I saw there was a route yesterday, it was a deep route down the sideline opposite the booth where the receiver, I want to say it was Rashid Shaheed, he ran a little out and go, and then he tried to stutter and bait Trent into getting some early contact down the field. And the way he was able to avoid that and still stay in his side pocket and force the incompletion, like, that play showed me something. And I know, you know, people will say, well, how can he be the best corner in the league and he's never had an interception?
Because they don't throw to him.
Why?
Yeah.
They don't throw to his side. And, like, he just covers guys. He's just a blanket guy. And his lower body, the way he's able to stay in great technique and not get too handsy down the field is just very impressive for a young player. Again, he's a third-year guy, and he's developed into one of the top shutdown corners in the league.
That's right. Danon, well, hey, go enjoy the bye week. Play a lot of golf for me. Take the time to do that. Get that handicap down, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, hopefully getting ready for another Chiefs win after a bye.
Sounds good, fellas. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the Royals coming home. I don't know if I'll be able to make the game out at the K on Wednesday, but I'm looking to get there on Thursday somehow. I'll find a ticket.
There you go, Danon. We'll see you out at Kauffman Stadium along with hopefully the rest of Kansas City out there to boo Jazz Chisholm. We'll have more coming up on him as the morning rolls along. But, I mean, my God, do you say those kind of things after a game that you just got beat in?